Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
New endowment to BRI supports West Texas big game research. The Borderlands Research Institute, BRI, at Sol Ross State University is pleased to announce the establishment of a new endowment fund that will support big game research into the future. John L. Now III, who lives in Houston, made a $400,000 gift in honor of his daughter and son-in-law, Victoria and Parker Johnson. This new Victoria and Parker Johnson Endowed Fellowship for Big Game Research will support a graduate student in perpetuity to conduct groundbreaking research on the multitude of big game species in West Texas. Lewis A. Havison, the Dan Allen Hughes Jr., Endowed Director of Borderlands Research Institute, said in a news release, "We're honored to celebrate Victoria and Parker in this very special way. Now was the inaugural recipient of the West Texas Conservationist of the Year Award in 2022 and is a longtime supporter of the Borderlands Research Institute. Parker Johnson is also active in conservation circles and currently serves on the board of both the Borderlands Research Institute and Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. The corpus of the endowment will remain untouched to grow over time. Earning from the endowment will be used to support academic salaries and program support for a graduate student focused on big game research at the Borderlands Research Institute. The Chihuahuan Desert Borderlands are home to a diversity of big game animals that is unparalleled in Texas, including desert mule deer, pronghorn, desert bighorn sheep, javelina, and white-tailed deer. Despite this variety of large game and their economic importance, there is relatively little information available regarding their management. Learning more about these big game animals is a priority for Borderlands Research Institute professors and students. We are honored by this gift that will support the important big game research being conducted by Borderlands Research Institute staff and students," said Parker Johnson. "It is especially fitting that this gift comes during BRI's 15th anniversary year. In a relatively short amount of time, BRI has become a critical resource for West Texas landowners and land managers." For more information about BRI's Big Game Research Program can be found online at bri.solross.edu/big-game. Since 2007, the Borderlands Research Institute has encouraged effective land stewardship of the Chihuahuan Desert. Housed at Sol Ross State University, the Borderlands Research Institute builds on a long-lasting partnership with private landowners, the university's Natural Resource Program, cooperating state, federal, and non-governmental organizations, and other stakeholders. Through research, education, and outreach, the Borderlands Research Institute is helping to conserve the last frontier of Texas and the Southwest. ECISD leaders go back to school at Leadership University. Ector County ISD is hosting the 2023 edition of Leadership University Tuesday through Thursday at Crossroads Fellowship, 6901 East State Highway 191. Texas public schools are required to have at least 75,600 minutes of instruction each year. How do you impact a student's life in that amount of time? Impact is the theme for this year's Ector County ISD's Leadership University, a three-day local conference for district administrators. During this time, school district leaders are together sharpening their leadership skills and preparing for the start of a new year. The daily schedule runs between 8:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. with sessions led by ECISD staff and by others from outside the school district. The conference also features guest keynote speakers Paige Failing, a 25-year veteran of broadcast journalism and professional development, 1:15 p.m. Wednesday, and Dr. Pete Gorman, a former superintendent and current chief of residence for Chiefs of Change, 8:30 a.m. Thursday, as well as a discussion panel on Wednesday morning moderated by ECISD Superintendent Dr. Scott Murray. That panel begins at 9:55 that morning and includes former ECISD students. Kermit Volunteer Firefighter receives Hometown Hero Award. Heather Slayton, member of the Kermit Volunteer Fire Department, KVFD, was recently recognized as a Devon Hometown Hero, a Monday press release announced. The program highlights the dedication and expertise of emergency responders, including law enforcement officers, firefighters, EMTs, 911 dispatchers, and city employees. Heather is the best. Joseph Mixon, a local eighth grader who nominated Slayton for the award, said in the release, "She helps keep us safe and deserves recognition." Slayton, the first woman to serve in the Kermit Volunteer Fire Department, has been with the KVDFD for 4 years and served as its secretary for 2 years. Firefighting is in her blood. Slayton's father, John Day, is a 33-year veteran of the KVFD and serves alongside his daughter. Slayton is currently a measurement supervisor for a local oil field company. Despite having a full-time job, Heather selflessly takes time out of her day to support her community as a volunteer firefighter, said Molly Young, community relations specialist with Devon Energy, in the release. The Hometown Hero Award is a symbol of our appreciation for her dedication and support to our neighbors. Devon Hometown Heroes was named once a quarter, and nominations can be submitted at tinyurl.com/YVP23DJ9. All nominees must serve in an emergency response role in either Eddy County or Lee County, New Mexico. Devon Energy is a leading oil and gas producer in the U.S. with a premier multi-basin folio headlined by a world-class acreage position in the Delaware Basin. Devon's disciplined cash return business model is designed to achieve strong returns, generate free cash flow, and return capital to shareholders while focusing on safe and sustainable operations. For more information, please visit www.devonenergy.com. Two men accused of smuggling illegal border crossers. Two men were arrested Friday after a DPS trooper found four illegal border crossers in their van on Interstate Highway 20. According to court documents, the trooper was on patrol when he spotted a van traveling with an unauthorized temporary tag and pulled it over. The trooper noticed four people in the cargo area of the van who smelled foul and were wearing worn clothes that appeared excessively dirty and sweat-soaked, the report stated. None of the passengers would make eye contact with him, but they later confirmed they'd been hiking for a week before being picked up in Alpine. Jose Olivas, 57, admitted he was getting paid $1,500 for driving the four to Odessa, and Furman Gonzalez, 64, admitted he was with the group when they crossed into the U.S. from Presidio, the report stated. Both men were arrested on suspicion of 3 counts of smuggling of person and 1 count of smuggling of persons under 18 because one of the border crossers was 14. Both remain in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $100,000. Woman accused of striking man with truck. A 31-year-old woman was arrested Friday morning after being accused of backing into a man with her Toyota Sequoia twice. According to court documents, a deputy responded to a disturbance call at the Dollar General store in the 3800 block of FM 1936 shortly before 7:30 a.m. Friday. When he arrived, a store employee told him a couple had been arguing outside the store and offered him video surveillance to watch. The report stated the video showed a 26-year-old man removing his personal items from the Toyota and Kimberly Nicole Morgan putting it into reverse, forcing him to jump out of the way, the report stated. When Morgan stopped the vehicle, the man again went behind the truck to get his belongings, and Morgan backed into him while he tried to get away, the report stated. Morgan was arrested on aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. She remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $25,000 surety bond. Store manager accused of secretly recording in bathroom. The manager of the Dollar Tree store in the 3100 block of Andrews Highway was arrested Saturday after police said he videotaped a teenager using the restroom at the store. According to an Odessa Police Department report, two girls, ages 13 and 15, told an officer they asked Abel Ortiz Jr., 24, if they could use the restroom, and after one of them urinated, they found a phone hidden in a box of feminine hygiene products and saw it was recording. The girls took the phone and called police. Ortiz allowed the officer to go through his phone and he found the recording of the girl using the restroom, the report stated. Ortiz was arrested on one count of suspicion of invasion visual recording, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. He's also facing one count of attempted evasive visual recording, a misdemeanor.
Hi, I am continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram for July 15th, 2023. In Community, Donors Choose, First Grade Teacher at Rusk Asks for Easel by Ben Schaffer. Miss Smith, a first grade teacher at Rusk Elementary School, is seeking an easel to use during instruction time during classes. The project expires October 1st, and there is $675 needed to fully fund it. This Best Right Weasel easel would be so beneficial during the whole group instruction. I can picture my students coming up and helping build words with magnetic letters and reading. I can see having an interactive anchor chart up where students come to the easel and show the class which number is greater than the other in math. All my students would be able to easily see what I am writing and teaching from this tool, Smith posted on DonorsChoose.com. Hi, I am continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram for July 15th, 2023. Know the Differences Between Compost and Mulch by Debbie Rowland and Emmy Olmschneider. Recently, on a gardening social media site I follow, a picture was posted showing some rather sad vegetable plants. The person posting was asking what the problem was. They had amended their soil with compost they purchased, but the plants were still not thriving. Understanding compost, mulch, and their differences is important when you are a gardener. As it turned out, they had purchased compost that had not finished the decomposition process. It was very small wood chips without much organic matter. It had probably been composting, but was just not left long enough to get the job done. So, how do you know? Compost and mulch both help your soil, but in different ways and are applied differently. They have similarities, but the benefits are different. Compost is made of formerly organic matter and feeds the soil, which promotes plant growth and nurtures beneficial soil organisms like worms. Mulch can be either organic, such as shredded bark, or inorganic, such as gravel or rock. Mulch goes on top of your soil as a shield from the harsh climate and to keep your water from evaporating and drying out the plants. It also aids in preventing weed growth. Compost is made from grass, old fruits and veggies, newspaper scraps, eggshells, used paper towels, grass clippings, garden waste, even some properly composted animal manure, not dog or cat. Once this mixture has decomposed and broken down into simpler compounds, it is added to your soil either by mixing, top dressing, or as an addition to the hole you are planting in. It conditions the soil and delivers nutrients almost immediately, whereas organic mulch delivers over a long period of time because it must decompose first. If you make your own compost, remember that the smaller the size of what you add to your bin or pile, the faster it will decompose. Shredding your paper and even your veggies before you put them in will really speed up the process. Generally, the greener the material, the faster it will decompose. Organic and inorganic mulches come in many varieties. Organic mulches from shredded bark or wood chips can be purchased, or you can mulch your gardens with organic materials from your yard, such as chemical-free leaves in the fall or grass clippings in the summer. Because organic mulches decompose over time, they need to be reapplied, but that means that the nutrients are being released slowly over time to the soil, aiding plant growth. Inorganic mulches also come in a wide range of materials: shredded tires, rubber, plastic sheeting, gravel, and rocks. Since these materials do not decompose, they can last a long time. Some materials, such as gravel and rocks, also function as a design element in your landscape. So now that you have uncovered the difference between mulch and compost, apply this knowledge to your gardens and increase your gardening skills. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information and our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources. Hi, I'm continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, July 15th, 2023. In Opinion, MISD Learn from the Mistakes of Past Bond Campaigns, by Stuart Doreen. Midland ISD. Here are helpful suggestions once the district turns a $1.6 billion bond campaign over to a PAC and bows out. We wait for Midland ISD to announce the people who will lead the Political Action Committee for the expected bond election in November. Midland ISD has reported that those people who will present the bond committee findings to the board on July 25th will be determined as early as Monday. The district did not provide a timetable on when the leaders of the PAC will be announced. The following are suggestions for the school district and PAC leaders once the campaign has been turned over to the Political Action Committee. The district needs to stay out of the campaigning. Here's the simple truth of 2019. Had Midland ISD administration allowed the PAC to control the message that bond election would have won. However, Midland ISD administration couldn't help itself with moves, including the creation and delivery of informational material paid for by the district and sent home with students. The district is done when the PAC is created. The superintendent and board need to stay out of the day-to-day. Sure, this will be tough. This will be Superintendent Howard's baby. She has invested a lot of time, a lot of the district's resources, and a lot of effort by district personnel, past and present. It is doubly tough because bonds are, for better or worse, a referendum of district leadership, board, and superintendent. Of course, they're going to take it personally and want to do everything to help deliver a victory. However, let the campaign officials do their job. Attempt to make this election about school outcomes. How does the investment that the district is asking make student outcomes better in Midland? That will be asked over and over. Student outcomes, discipline, and safety are the items that should be most important to all Midlanders in everything the school district does. If campaigners' messages don't address student outcomes, go back to the drawing board. Know what the speed bumps are going to be. Beyond the price, $1.6 billion and more than $3 billion in total debt payments, principal plus interest, everyone knows the hurdles that campaign officials are going to face. Have a plan when those come up to make them one-day stories and not to linger. Campaign officials can't rely on hope that a problem will stay out of the news cycle during this three-month sprint. Have a plan for when they do come up. Don't make this too complicated. Education governance is extremely complicated. Elections are not. The average Midlander isn't going to go too deep into the weeds on things like school reconfiguration, which might be important, but isn't easily explainable. Don't guilt Midlanders into voting for this. It's not the voters' fault that facilities are older than some people would like. Don't be that Bloomberg reporter who attempted to paint Midland in a light that its residents and leaders don't reinvest in the community. That is false and won't deliver a net positive number of votes. Use legislative action at your own risk. There will be a temptation to use any tax decreases caused by legislative action as a selling point for passing a bond. They will say you won't feel a thing with the tax bill. That, again, is treating the voter like they are stupid and, again, will give the voter the feeling that PAC leaders and school district officials believe that is their money. It is not. Win an election on the merits that the facilities are better for student outcomes and safety. It is hard to believe that the "your taxes really aren't going up" argument will bring a net positive voter impact. Have a good answer for school choice. Hopefully, Midland ISD can do better than having its officials tweet and message about evils of school choice. Private schools aren't getting any smaller, and I expect to see an increase in the number of charter schools in the next 5 to 10 years when Midland ISD projects growth in its student population. When asked about the charter schools and their impact on facilities, it isn't a shot at Midland ISD or the campaign, it's the reality of education in Midland, one of the most complicated communities in the state for education governance. Campaign officials will have a tough row to hoe between now and November, and it should be tough. The ask is for $1.6 billion, but if school district officials let the PAC take care of the politicking and PAC members participate in a campaign that is good for Midland and knows its audience, it will make their job a little easier.
This is the Dear Abby column. Marriage has deteriorated along with man's hearing. Dear Abby, I have been married for 40 years. When I married Hugh, I thought he was the nicest man I had ever met. We have 2 grown children, of whom we are both very proud. Hugh was laid off 19 years ago and said he was going to take a little time off. Abby, he has never gone back to work. I retired 4 years ago and got a little part-time job in a local shop in town. I do the housework and our neighbor does our yard. Hugh goes to the grocery store, and that's the only time he leaves the house. We haven't been out to dinner in 5 years. He doesn't go to family gatherings, hasn't seen a friend in years, and is always angry. No matter what I say, I get screamed at or thrown a death stare. My husband has suffered hearing loss, which I'm sure is frustrating, but he refuses to get a hearing aid and is always mad because he can't hear me or any conversation. We can't have a rational discussion because I have to raise my voice for him to hear me, and then he accuses me of yelling and walks away. We are too tied up financially and emotionally for me to leave, and I have nowhere else to go. I don't know how to get through to him that blaming me for his problems is unjustified and undeserved. Any advice? Signed, Bleak View in Texas. Dear Bleak View, you do not have to tolerate being verbally abused. Because you are unwilling or unable to leave, the next best thing would be to start leading your own life as much as possible. Stop enabling your husband to the extent you have been. He won't like it, but do not allow him to make it your problem. Talk to an attorney about separating your finances if it's possible. Continue working, socialize separately, and make as happy a life for yourself as you can. Dear Abby, I thought I was friends with Connie, but with what has happened lately, she's obviously not my friend. She says she's depressed, which does concern me, but she is using it to get me to take her to doctor's appointments and to the store, even when it greatly interferes with my schedule. She expects me to cancel my own appointments to accommodate her and gets angry and dramatic when I tell her I can't. It's very stressful. I used to care about her, but I can no longer take her abusive and disrespectful behavior. I'm thinking of ending this so-called friendship. What do you think I should do? Signed, Used in Maryland. Dear Used, Connie may be depressed. She may also be self-centered and endlessly needy. It's time to tell her calmly how you feel about what is happening. Make clear that you have responsibilities in your own life that you no longer want to sacrifice, and suggest that if she values the friendship, she should make other arrangements for transportation. If she can accept that, remain friendly with her, but not at her beck and call. If she cannot accept it, your problem will be solved. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.